AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
I don't have anything.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. I would like to encourage all of you to go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in, and they can listen live from anywhere in the world simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the internet link. Well, today I'm here with Joseph Evangelist, and we're going to be talking about several issues as to what's happening in the USA with our jobs, our economy, and so many people responded that they're unhappy with what they see going on in the national election, where the candidates simply are not paying attention to any of the issues that are really facing America. So today, Joseph, I would like to ask you if we could possibly discuss what we would be doing if you and I were the people who were involved talking with the candidates and preparing them for the upcoming debates. Number one, I think that we need to find out what is really on the candidates' mind. All I keep hearing in the news media is all these innuendos. This one said this and this one said that. I'd like to see that time put toward making sure that the people know what the candidates really stand for. So if I had to ask you this very first question, we all know and we've heard that America has 29 million registered businesses. That's quite a number of businesses. Now, many of those are major corporations, which some employ tens of thousands, some employ a few thousand. Others are smaller businesses and medium-sized businesses. Maybe they employ 100 or 200 people, and some 5 or 10. There's the local stores and also the self-employed. That's a lot of businesses for us to have in the USA. What do you feel we can do to motivate those people, first of all, to focus upon the needs of American workers and by buying their products and circulating it in their stores? And secondly, what can we do to get those business people to operate with the mindset is they have to take care of America first? And that means focusing on what we have here and what we can do to improve jobs.
Well, to be absolutely honest, I'm not sure that there's anything that we can do to make them do that. Is the entire system today, and it's an unfortunate truth, is kind of rigged, at least in my opinion. Is if you look at the comments that came out on the videotape from Mitt Romney, and everybody's all upset about what he said, is there are some truth. And if you look at the people who are complaining, they say, well, you know, he gave his inheritance away, but he got an education and his parents sent him to private school and they sent him to college and graduate school. And, you know, yes, but if you're going to complain about the fact that his family gave him something and say, well, that means that accounts for an inheritance, that's a completely different piece. Is the argument that you're making is, you know, I deserve what somebody over there has. And it's always the grass is greener on the other side. And we're pandering to these people. The Democratic National Convention stopped and had to re-vote on its platform for two issues. It didn't state that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, which actually it isn't recognized as the capital of Israel by, I guess, anybody but the United States and Israel. And the second point was that we didn't have God in there. And the whole convention had to re-vote on this, and it's pandering to the people in platform. There wasn't any debate over the platform for the poor or the military. It was the groups that were going to feed money in.
But the question is, we have 29 million businesses registered in the USA. Together, collectively, all those businesses are, as of today, are employing 142 million people. Now, that's a nice amount of people. However, it doesn't help us when we look at our population in America, and it's 314 million people. And I understand what you're saying, but the candidates at some point have to understand what the people are looking at. They're looking at, where will I get a job? They don't want to know about what's happening overseas. They want to know what's happening here in the USA. What am I going to do to wake up tomorrow and be employed? When I go to the businesses and I speak to them, this is their main issue. How am I going to be helped? Not to be taxed to death, but helped to stay here in this country. What candidate is going to speak up in my behalf? That's the main question. We have 29 million businesses employing 142 million, and the number should be 188 million. Because if you take 314 million and you times that by 60%, the actual number of people that should be employed in a decent economy, in any country's decent economy, is 188 million, or 60% of its people having opportunities for full-time or part-time jobs.
Well, that's the case, but the government isn't looking for people to have money from employment. Is if you look at the recent Fed action, and Anthony Mitihara pointed this out, is basically what they're looking is, we are a consumer-driven economy. 70% of it is based on purchases, consumer purchases.
That's right. We become a social economy, going out, having a good time. We become a service-oriented economy where someone else is doing for us. But how do we actually make the money to be able to pay for this stuff and go out and socialize?
That's not the goal. Look at what the Fed action is. The Fed action is buying bonds and buying mortgage-backed securities. It's going to do two things. It's going to push up the price of the stock market, and it's going to push up and prop up home values. And the entire hope is that when those two things go up, people will start feeling better and start spending money.
Okay, start feeling better. When you say start feeling better, do you think that people that have no job and have no real spending power will ever feel better about spending a dollar knowing that they're going in debt?
It's not that they're going to go in debt. Is what they want to do is they want to reinflate the housing market so that you can borrow against the equity that you have.
Okay, but even if they inflate the housing market or any other market, or send out a stimulus check to somebody in the mail, how are the people going to exist once the stimulus check money are spent and once the housing market turns into another bubble?
Well, the fact is you have to recognize this only has to last until November.
Well, that is my point here. That is my point. How do we get the people that are running for president of the United States and even vice president of the United States to discuss the real issues? When I go around to these various events, people come up and they say, listening to you, I learned more than I have from the politicians in many years, just from this broadcast and through some of the other broadcasts that have now come about and supported these ideas. We, as the American people, and I'm blaming the people, have not spoken up for years. They sat back, they were fed, happy, and had a little money, and it was fine. It didn't mean anything that the country was going down until it's starting to hit people now. Right now, in order for America to get back to a full level of employment, plus employ the more recent graduates which still don't have jobs, the mothers and dads that are returning to the workforce after not being listed in the workforce because of unemployment running out, there we could use about 46 million jobs. Where do we get that from? And how would the candidate, do you feel, answer that if they were asked that by one of the news commentators at the upcoming debate on October the 3rd?
Well, the problem with the answer is we have a limited amount of resources, and this is the problem that you have everywhere in this country, and where the political pandering comes in is if you look at the Obama administration's Jobs Act, it's, you know, there's lots of pieces in there that we have to pay prevailing union wages, we have to maintain teachers, etc. Nothing is there that actually employs more people. The short answer is we have less tax revenue, we have less money available, and ultimately, if you want full employment, we're either going to see wages stagnate, or people are going to have to take lower paying jobs, and we're going to have to build from the ground up again.
Bill, I think that is where this is going to happen.
Well, that's what's going to happen, and we're trying to avoid it. I mean, the equivalent of cutting the payroll tax and cutting the Social Security tax and giving all the tax refunds is the equivalent of having a household where you put your paycheck in the bank and one person goes to the casino, gambles it all away, and then says, well, we can't make our mortgage, and you fight over how you're going to pay the mortgage. Honestly, the solution is to get the person who's gambling the money away to stop spending it. Our solution is to continue throwing money at the problem, or go steal stuff from the neighbor's house and give it to the people who are gambling and never face the fact that we have a problem. So, I mean, perfect example is Chicago Teachers Union was arguing over the ability to rate them based on child performance. And one of the arguments was we can't be held accountable or compared to the charter schools because the charter schools have better equipment, they have newer computers, they have air conditioning and everything else. But let's look at it. Is the CPS average teacher makes $76,000 a year. The charter school teacher makes $50,000 a year on average. Now, if you give the same amount of money to a schoolhouse, let's say a single schoolhouse with a single teacher, you give $76,000, is the schoolhouse that pays $50,000 to the teacher can buy $26,000 worth of equipment or upgrades, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. Now it's equivalent. The cost is the same. They both get $76,000 for one teacher. The difference is how you spend the money. Is our argument in this country is we continue to spend $76,000 on the teacher. We don't do any maintenance. We don't replace anything. We don't buy any books. And then we complain about the performance. Well, the problem is in order to allocate more money to books, infrastructure, etc., we have to take money out of the wages side. You can't spend more than you have. And this is what we have, is Chicago has almost $1 billion in deficit for the school district, and you can't do this. But we do this all along, is we have this at the state level, is the federal government kept shuttling cash into the states. Then when the federal government said, you know, we're going to give it to the people, we're not going to give it to the states cranked up the taxes or they cut services. Perfect example is where you see this is transportation, is as we give away more tax refunds, we give less to the states for infrastructure costs and our roads suck. You know, the catch here is the IRS is not collecting the money to pay for the big infrastructure.
So the loans come about.
So, no, what happens is they go to the state and they say, okay, well, we gave you $500 million last year. We can't give it to you this year. The state has to balance its budget. It either borrows money. It has three options. It borrows money, it raises taxes, or, you know, it just cuts services. Here's where the problem is coming up and where people are getting killed by this policy coming out of Washington is when you cut the federal funding, the IRS doesn't collect the money, you can't give it to the state, the state has to raise money, the cities have to raise money, is if you raise taxes, everything goes up. The cost of doing business goes up, that gets pushed on. Rent goes up. You raise the water rate, rent goes up if water's included. Expenses go up. So the cause of, yes, we're going to give you an extra $500 a year in a tax break, it's just coming on the other end. The government needs a certain amount of money to run. If the federal government isn't collecting it, they're going to have to collect it at the state level. The difference that you have is many states collect less taxes than they get from the federal government. So where you run into a problem is if you're on a state that, you know, sends in a $1 billion and gets $2 billion from the government, when the government turns off the tap, you're $1 billion on the hook. Mm-hmm. And these states are slashing everything because the federal government is a way of redistributing money across the states. Now it's a way of redistributing money across the people, and the states are taking the hit. And what's happening is you're finding that the cost of living is running rampant and raising in these states as the state needs more money.
Joe, as you're involved looking up all of this information, when did this all of a sudden come about where we became the keepers of people who couldn't find a job and support themselves?
Well, what became a big issue was when we started to guarantee services. Originally, if you look at the programs, we would guarantee services. You know, we had, even for mental illness, we had issues with, you know, where we had Byberry and you could be committed and live in there. And the catch was, is we started, the ACLU started to argue that, you know, that was unfair to them, you know, and we ended up with a big homeless population when they closed Byberry because, you know, they went from the institutions out to the streets. But the argument was, is it's their personal freedom to decide where they live. So mm-hmm. if they don't want to be in the institution, they can choose to live on the streets.
Now, but what happened to those institutions?
They were shut down and that was the end of
right.
it.
Right. So they weren't given a decision or a choice.
No, because what the argument was is we decided that the people had a right to decide for themselves. Now, what we're doing with the tax refunds is we're saying the people have the right to spend their money on what they want. So, for example, is rather than take this money that is going in tax refunds and paying for infrastructure or bolstering the health care structure or setting up food banks like we had 30 years ago where you'd be able to get the surplus from this country rather than paying them not to produce or shipping it overseas, is what we do is we say people have the right to make their own decision. We'll give them cash. And then they make decisions like in California.
But where did it come about where the American people were demanded to give cash to anybody without any work requirement?
That's changed through the years. I mean, we had some slacking under Clinton. We had changes under Bush, and we've had some changes under the Obama administration.
Do you think that's fair that those changes were made and placed upon the American people?
Well, it's not. It's an argument of what our guaranteed freedoms are. You know, we believe, and you look at the comments that people are saying.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is what is in the Constitution. What came after that is all done by the legislators who decided that this is what it should have been done. And most of this is masquerading the fact that we have no jobs in the House of America, so we have to support households in America with all these federal handouts. We'll be back in a moment. I do have some community updates, and I would like to thank a few of our sponsors today for making donations to our program. MMB Contractors and Bojena and Marek Mai, also Jadwiga Sanj and Lakodia and Józef Matwoski, as well as the volunteers of the Polish American Cultural Center Museum. Our thanks to them for their contributions to our radio broadcasts here on 860 AM Radio.
The office of Dr. Wojciech Zinn and Everest Dental, located at 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, provides quality service at affordable prices. For a full range of dental services, from general care to implants, veneers, and many other procedures, contact Everest Dental for an appointment at area code 215-671-0188. From the moment you enter the office of Dr. Wojciech Zinn of Everest Dental, you will witness the latest technology in all areas of dental services. The Everest Dental offices accept all major insurances. Dr. Zinn speaks English and Polish and welcomes you to call Everest Dental, 9892 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, at area code 215-671-0188. That's area code 215-671-0188.
The next portion of our broadcast today is being presented by the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 3157 East Thompson Street in Port Richmond, Philadelphia. For your weddings and special events, call the Polish Eagle Sports Club at 215-423-0800. And by Steam My Carpets, which serves commercial and residential properties in the Philadelphia area. Contact Jay Grzeczynski at 1-877-778-3263 or visit steammycarpets.com. The law firm of Dominik Rostowski is located on the 30th floor of 1818 Market Street in Philadelphia. Whatever your legal needs are, contact the Rostowski Law Firm at area code 215-913-6090. That's 215-913-6090. You can also visit the law firm of Dominik Rostowski on the internet at rostowski.com. Dominik Rostowski, attorney at law, is available to assist you in the English and Polish language. Welcome back to our Wednesday edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. Also heard on the World Wide Web at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. We're talking here today about the 46 million jobs America really needs for a healthy economy. And in a regular economy, 40 years ago, our elected officials would have possibly considered what the American people are going to need as the population grows and as more services are going to be necessary for people of all ages because of the growing population. Instead, what happened here in America is we lost jobs to outsourcing. No one was watching the stove, as sort of a statement, and now we have the need for 24 million is what they say is right now. However, with the growing population and people who have never been in the system and people who want to be returning to work, the amount is 46 million for a healthy economy, which would be 188 million jobs in the USA to satisfy at least 60% of the population over 18 years of age that would like to be employed. Some people may already be partly retired but still want a part-time job. That requires another 46 million jobs. Joseph, if a portion of every American business could employ just a few additional people to meet the demands of America's consumers, millions of Americans could be employed in a real short period of time. And of course, tens of millions could be employed as we reopen some of our industries, and it has to happen, and as we reskill and retool all of our people to work to make some of the items that you and I are wearing today. As I go around, people tell me this all the time. They're just disappointed, and they are raising hell in the stores to discuss where is their selection of American-made items. And I thank, as I mentioned so many times, the radio programs, the televisions, and the newspapers that are promoting this, because it seems that the American people have woken up from a nightmare. And now they're saying, well, I have to get over this hangover, and I have to move forward. And they're doing that. And in the process of that, that is why I've been begging people to look at labels, support local businesses, support National Small Business Weekend. It's all related to getting the small businesses the medium-sized businesses and the larger businesses to have more business here on America's shores. If I was asking you, the man preparing to ask the president, either one of the presidential candidates, preparing them for the debate, what would they respond to if I was the person in, on the media side asking the question, what are we going to do to get tens of millions of jobs back here and attract the 29 million businesses that we have here? Maybe half of them could employ just one additional person. That would mean 15 million jobs. What would your response be?
We have to leave the World Trade Organization.
Okay, why would we have to leave the World Trade Organization?
The issue that we have here is, as technology moves in one direction, we need less workers. So as we become more technology advanced, we need less workers. Population growth shows that we have more workers. So if you look back several decades...
Wait a minute. Population growth shows that we have more workers.
We have more workers, but we need less to manufacture.
Right. However, if you look back 10 years ago on the debt clock, you would see we had 138 million people. Here we are 10 years later, we have 142 million people. So we really didn't go up much. A lot of those jobs, making the clothes and all the other items that were going into the stores and looking at on the hangers, could have been made here and employed a good percentage of the people we're talking about.
Right, but here's the offset that you have here is whether it's made here or made overseas, and this is the argument that Alan Greenspan made, is the fact is if you want people here to work, you are going to have to push the unemployment to the people who are making the jobs, the stuff today. You're not going to have demand. What you're arguing is we ramp up, we make an extra million shirts in the United States, and there's going to be demand for a million shirts. That's not going to happen. What's going to happen is we'll sell the million American-made shirts, and demand for Chinese or Vietnam or whatever other country will go down. The argument that you have here is it's a capacity issue. Let's say that China can make 10 million shirts a year, and we ramp up the United States and we add another million a year. Unless the American people are going to buy 11 million shirts, somebody's going to lose their job, whether it's in the United States or in China or the other manufacturing firms. There's a limited amount that we need. And the hard part is we're not producing things that people need. The whole goal was, you know, we would manufacture and we'd be able to send it to the Chinese. Well, they're not buying that stuff. You look at Apple, our GDP is going to jump in the fourth quarter.
Can you believe it? And not a thing made here in the USA.
Well, it's not.
And yet people are standing in lines, camping out for all this stuff and nothing here in America.
Well, it's not even that. It's a financial accounting piece. The iPhone sells for between $600 and $850 in the United States. It's made for $167. Our GDP for everyone sold will be the difference between that $600 or $800 sell price and the $167. That money will be created in the United States because it's part of the sale. It only goes to Apple, and it produces zero jobs.
Right.
Now, the catch is we're going to, they're going to say our economy is roaring because, you know, it went up an extra point or two or whatever it is.
But the general person has no money extra to spend.
Right.
They're just buying and going into debt, buying the new Apple or whatever.
But that's the way that the system is set up, is if
that's
you create
right.
more items, you need people to buy them.
However, that went on now for almost 40 years. That has to be turned around. And we have to go back to the reality that we have to be a nation of producers, not a nation of buyers. Our national leaders concern themselves with all kinds of issues around the world, and now we have what we have, and we have to turn it around. The debates, which will become beginning on October the 3rd, is a perfect opportunity for this to be addressed. I can almost see now that there's going to be a lot of these well-meaning questions asked, but nothing that's really going to help us in the long run. Hold on, Joseph. We have a caller. Fred. Hello, Fred. Welcome to our broadcast.
Michael, how's it going?
Good.
Good. First off, I just wanted to mention that the broadcast is a great way to create political awareness for Americans. I've listened every now and then, and I've definitely learned a lot just by listening. You mentioned that there's definitely several negative aspects in America that are brought to light, and I'm wondering, what can we say that's positive, or what can we do to create something more positive in the economy?
Very good. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate that.
Yep.
And in fact, let me put on the number. If someone would like to dial in, give us a call at 215-922-5300. That's 215-922-5300. Joseph, how can we create some positive out of all the negativity that's going on in this campaign?
Well, I think it's more that we have to realign how people view themselves. I mean, for the last two decades, we've done nothing but say, you know, the more stuff you have, the more successful you are. And it's all this consumer-driven area. And as soon as people couldn't afford to buy the new iPhone every year or to get a new car every 2 years or whatever else it was, is, you know, their self-esteem was all tied to that. Is, you know, it used to be, if you were happy with what you were doing, you know, you had a life, etc., you didn't get upset. Now, as soon as something goes wrong, people become depressed. They, you know, oh, I can't work. I'm too depressed to work. I'm disabled because I'm too depressed to work. And, you know, they never get back into the swing of things. We've propped up the children to believe that they are a God-given right to be successful. You play baseball, you may not ever touch the ball, your team may lose every game, but you'll get a trophy. They give you awards at school just for showing up.
Joseph, those are all very important responses. However, what are we going to ask the candidates that they would change in order to bring a positive side to all the negativity we're experiencing? There's going to be some hard choices to be made in this country.
We need the negativity, though.
But we need that, but that's not going to make people get a job. The negativity is only going to keep people spinning around without a solution. I'm looking for some solutions. I need to know who has some solutions. If you'd like to call in, give us a buzz at 215-922-5300. At the end of today's broadcast, I do have some community announcements. We are broadcasting on the Polish American Radio Program Network here on 860 AM Radio. This is American Workers Radio. And I want to say that I'm very pleased for the support that we receive from our community, the Polish community, as well as the many other ethnic communities that have been supporting this radio broadcast. Thanks for spreading the word. We'll be right back. Dr. Eva Maczak has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One at 3084 Armingo Avenue in Port Richmond, another at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. Dr. Eva Maczak will provide you with quality dental care at affordable prices. For more information or an appointment, call Dr. Eva Maczak at area code 215-739-2787. That's 215-739-2787. Dr. Maczak speaks both English and Polish.
Yolanda Konopacka de Scipio, attorney at law, is available to handle your legal matters. She's part of the well-known firm Bennett, Bricklin, and Salzburg, and works in all areas of the law, including immigration, personal injury, compensation, and real estate. Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio is fluent in both English and Polish and welcomes clients to contact her from throughout the Philadelphia area and New Jersey. If you need legal assistance, call Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio at area code 215-423-4824. That's area code 215-423-4824. The Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance and investment organization, encourages you to open a PNA annuity. Your deposits are tax deferred. You can open the account with $500 and then make future deposits in any amount in your tax deferred annuity. For more information about PNA annuities, IRAs, and life insurance programs, call the Polish National Alliance at their toll free number 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723. And complete details will be sent to you from the national office. When you call, you can also request that a local PNA representative contact you directly with further details about PNA annuities, IRAs, and their many insurance programs. Call the Polish National Alliance at 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in once again to American Workers Radio. I'm here with Joseph Evangelist, our consumer advocate, and we do have another caller on the line, but I'd like to ask once again, return to the question, how do we get the 29 million American businesses to hire people again? I receive numerous responses from businesses that say, thank you for promoting the American label. However, what is happening is that people are going to the stores mindlessly without looking at the label. They can go into the store and see the same product, a better quality even, with an American-made label, and because the foreign-made product is on sale for $1.50 less, they'll buy the foreign-made product and bypass the American-made product, which then causes our American manufacturers to have to cut back because over that $1.50 or $2 on sale, the foreign-made stuff is picked up so that Americans would have money for other reasons. This is it's a very good point. How do we continue to press the American people to seek out American-made items first?
Well, actually, I think it's a different piece. Is we disagree, Michael and myself, on whether or not we need people to actually, you know, suffer in the economy. Mitt Romney made a statement that, you know, 95% of it is where you're born. What we consider poverty in the United States is not what happens in other parts of the world. In addition, is what we, since we have lots of space in the United States, we have the ability to spread out, we have sprawl, we have lots of storage space. And if you go to a lot of these Western European countries, they don't have lots of stuff. They don't have huge houses. What we call starter apartments, they call family homes, and they don't collect lots of stuff. Look at the industries in this country that have been growing in the past decade. Public storage. You know, if you don't have enough room in your house for your stuff, you have too much stuff. But that's the issue that the American people have, is they want more stuff. It's a gluttony at a thing. And the catch is I believe that we need to stop softening the blow. Is it's like a Band-Aid. At a certain point, you rip the Band-Aid off, it hurts, and it passes. Same argument can be made for childbirth. As you know, women say it's so terrible, childbirth, but the pain must pass because they choose to have more children. So the catch that you have
Well said.
You know, if you had a memory, and this is the problem, is this generation doesn't remember the hard times. The people who went through the Depression, they remembered what it was like, they saved, They remembered what it was to have nothing, and they appreciated what they got.
Absolutely.
What you have today is this instantaneous piece. You have companies like Disney that are making shows like The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, where, you know, everybody's going to live in this huge suite in a hotel, and, you know, this is how life is supposed to be. And everybody pursues that, whether they go in debt. You know, that's the thing. It's the keeping up with the Joneses mentality. And in a way, we need to get back to that mindset where people experience a time where they have nothing, and then they appreciate what they have. And that way, they will actually buy quality products instead of just buying as much junk as they can.
Okay, I see that point of view. My campaign is, let's try to work together so we don't have to reach that point. There are some people in the USA that may not care, but there are also a lot of great quality people who do care, who don't want to see the country go down, who are doing their part, who are helping the American workers, who are shopping local. There are a number of people. Our effort is trying to bring more people into their way of thinking. The sad part of it is, as we're discussing this, we discussed this yesterday on another broadcast I was on. We were talking about, I don't want to mention this particular city, but they said 15 years ago, that city was absolutely beautiful. You could walk down the streets day or night. Today, at dusk, you must be off the streets because it's impossible. What happened? What happened to the mentality of people where 15 years ago, they're talking like in the late 90s, it was just beautiful to go there. Sunday afternoons, you could go on a stroll. Now everything is almost in a lockdown after 6 o'clock at night. There's no guarantee. There's not enough police. There's not enough facilities to hold the people in case of a crime wave or something. How did we get to this point in America and our national leaders didn't say, whoa, this has got to stop?
Well, how we got to this area is we actually tried to pick winners and losers. See, the problem that I have with this is by giving people cash, we're allowing them to make decisions where they say, you know, I can buy two Chinese products instead of one American product. The simple answer is if you're getting money from the government, stop giving them cash. You want them, you go to the local area, and what you need, you get the American surplus. You get the American manufactured. This is how food banks were decades ago.
Well, not, you know, I agree that that should be restored.
You know, it should be is the fact that we give people cash is we're just feeding into the how can I stretch my government dollar the most? And the way to stretch the government dollar is to buy foreign goods. You know, you look at places like Kraft, you know.
Sure, and buying those foreign goods, by the way, I want to make sure that it's well known that for every shirt you buy foreign made, the store and the merchandisers probably paid 80% less than it's being sold to you for. So you're really killing America's economy and killing American workers by buying too much foreign stuff because they're making all the profit and all you're doing is going into debt if you're buying it on credit and credit and credit, and you're only hurting our American workers by seeing them unemployed as the industries that are making the products that you're buying foreign made are dying on the vine.
Right, but the issue that you have is the merchandisers, when you look at a lot of this, is this is intentional. The whole goal when we went away from defined pensions and the Social Security area was to push the information and the money into private. So the pension funds would invest in the stock market. The 401ks would be investments in the stock market. And you look at what they're trying to do today is the Fed is going to prop up the stock market because it's all based on people believing they have personal wealth.
Yes, and I hear this, and I do watch many of the broadcasts, and I'm very disappointed that they're not talking about the basic issues, the bread and butter issues. Where are people in America going to be employed? When you're employed, you feel better about yourself. When you're employed, you're able to spend money the way you want to spend it and live the way you can afford. When is it going to dawn on all members of America's legislatures throughout the United States and in Washington that the American people can't continue to put air in the balloon, because sooner or later that balloon is going to burst. And that's already bursting as we speak. And when we come back, we are going to speak with another visitor that has called us, and you're tuned into another edition of American Workers Radio. I'm Michael Blihash, here with Joseph Evangelist, and our next guest caller will be up as soon as we return. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, you can listen anytime simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and they feature Polish-style meats and deli products and a selection of imported products from Poland and Polish-American products. Stop by Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and see the great selection of products they offer. For more information, call Polka Deli at area code 215-634-3750. That's 215-634-3750. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has two offices in Philadelphia, one at 17th and JFK Boulevard in Center City, and the other at 8510 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Call attorney Michael Steinman's office at 215-564-1866. That's 215-564-1866. Or in the evening or weekends at area code 215-322-0235. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, always available to assist you in the English or Polish language. The Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, established in 1873, is the oldest Polish-American life insurance organization in the United States. They offer outstanding life insurance plans for men, women, and children from $5,000 all the way up to $1 million of coverage per person. The PRCUA is a national fraternal organization, so people can secure life insurance plans and annuities from anywhere in the USA. Their main office is in Chicago, and their satellite office is in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, at 2636 East Allegheny Avenue. The Philadelphia office is open Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., and if you're not available during those times, representatives will meet with you in the evening or during the weekend. For more information, call the PRCUA Philadelphia office at area code 215-425-3807. That's 215-425-3807. Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio. And I want to respond, before I go to the caller, to two emails I received this week. One was promoting the idea to get the American people to support the clothing available in stores right now, because those are the people working in America to provide that product in the stores. Also, during the debates, we were talking about the debates a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the clothing industry, and one person wrote to me, said, "Sir, if you asked what percentage of the clothing the candidates for president were wearing at the time of the debate, what would their response be?" It's a good question. And possibly, I don't think someone will ask that question, but we can ask it. And I'd like to know where exactly that would be. But also, we have to acknowledge that a large number of the companies left America to escape rising taxes, rising operational costs, labor costs, and growing regulations on these businesses. We have to do something about that, and I'd like to see the candidates really address this issue. And also, we talked about this so many times, and I'm glad that wherever I go, people bring it up to me. Most of the brand name items that were formerly made in the USA are still sold in the USA. There's little brand names on the tags and on the packaging. They're all the same. People that don't look at the labels really don't see the difference. But those products are made at 10, 12, maybe 20% of what they were made here in the USA. But the charge to you in an American store is the same price you would be paying if that product was made here in the USA. So it's time for us to get back our workers, our industries, and see people able to support themselves once again, because the entitlements are dying. Self-sufficiency has to be put back on the table. And with that, I'm going to go to our caller. Welcome, Mary Ann.
Hi. Well, you have another great show, and I have to tell Joe, I really liked his analogy about childbirth. That was a mouthful. Did you see Ed Rendell's book about wusses?
Yes, I did.
Well, he said a mouthful, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
What they're doing is making everything easier for everybody in this country, and that's a pity. That's why we have obesity, you name it. There was a time when the people had to get off their butts to go get their surplus food instead of even getting money or food stamps, didn't they? They went for their cheese, their milk, their juice, their soup, but it was too much work. Let's give them money.
Well, actually, it's even better than that, is Medicaid will actually pay for them to ship your insulin to your house. You know,
well,
you can not even have to leave your home. This food stores will now deliver stuff to you. They have delivery services.
We're making a lazy country. We're not making them get up to do anything. And Joe, I retired from that mental health system that you talk about for 35 years. My patients were low functioning, but they had high self-esteem when they were allowed to work. When the ACLU came in and said, no, you can't work anymore unless you get paid, self-esteem went down the toilet.
Well, I mean, the problem that we have here is I met somebody over the weekend who's in her 70s, and she had a business in the Kensington section of Philadelphia, a manufacturing business. And, you know, in the last few years, the manufacturing, whether it's the EPA standards, the taxes, and the competition from China has just put the business into the ground, and it's going under. And the interesting thing is nobody's trying to save the business or the employees. They're fighting over who gets the debts and the bad taxes. And from the American economy standpoint, is we consider the valuation of the lawyers that are paid to fight over it, mm-hmm. and the patent lawyers and the IRS people, we value them as much or more than we value the actual manufacturing. So a dollar paid to a divorce lawyer who gets $300 an hour, is we value that at the same as 15 hours of an auto worker. And from a GDP standpoint, we consider that the same. So this country values, you know, financiers, which, and health industry people that generate lots of profits, more than it values the average worker. And as I said last week, is we have an issue where we have no problem spending $35,000 a year to house a prisoner, but we have a problem spending $2 a day to feed a child. You know, we value our prisoners more than we value our citizens. We value our immigrants and what we give to the immigrant population that more than we value the people who have been here for generations. And the hard part that you have with this is we've shucked off all the responsibility by saying is our citizens get their own to make their own decision. We hand them money, they make their own decision. So now what do we have in places like Chicago and all, where they say, oh, well, we need to bring these kids into school so that they'll get fed their breakfast and lunch, as mom's standing there talking on her $130 a month iPhone. You know, this is the catch, is we've allowed people to make the decision that having my iPhone and my great phone service is more important than feeding my son. And I watched a guy this morning, and this is the mentality that we are teaching. Is I was dropping my kid off at school, and this guy pulls up, and he stops, parks his car, turns it off in the lane that everybody's trying to drive in, gets out of his car, and starts unloading his kid. And the guy behind him said, "Hey, you got to move." And he got up and he said, "Can't you see my kid's late? You'll wait." And he got out of his car and went into the schoolyard and parked dead in the center of the street and blocked the entire street. And he felt it was perfectly acceptable.
Well, so this is what's happening. Everyone has become, you know, do whatever you want. But the old days must have been much better when people were able to operate on their own. Marianne, we're going to continue this conversation hopefully next weekend. And also on next week's program. But I also would like to say, I'm going to make a few community announcements, that Polish Heritage Night is going to be taking place at PPL Park, that's located at One Stadium Drive in Chester, Pennsylvania, as the Philadelphia Union versus the New England Revolution, and that'll be on Saturday, October the 6th at 7 p.m. Prior to that, they're going to have a tailgate party from 4 until 6:15 p.m. on Lot C. If you'd like additional information or tickets, you can call Kevin at 610-497-6152. That's Kevin at 610-497-6152. The date, once again, is Saturday, October the 6th, and that'll be at PPL Park, One Stadium Drive in Chester, Pennsylvania. Also, we have a very special group coming to the city of Philadelphia to celebrate the 60th anniversary of their founding, and that is the Schlons is coming to perform at Father Judge High School Auditorium. That's at 3301 Solly Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. If you'd like additional information about that particular event, that'll be on Thursday, November the 1st at 7:30 p.m., Father Judge High School Auditorium, 3301 Solly Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. You can call the Polish American Cultural Center at 215-922-1700. Tickets will be available next week. Also, I would like to note that next Wednesday, our program will be heard at 1 p.m. because there is a Jewish holiday service going to be taking place in the morning. So we will be broadcasting at 1 p.m. next Wednesday, and our many email contacts will be getting that information in their email. But do spread the word. If you tune in next Wednesday at 11, you'll know that we'll be on at 1 p.m. And don't forget to tune in to the daily Polish American radio program here on 860 AM radio. Next Tuesday at 11, we will be talking about the Polish Heritage Night there at the PPL Park in Chester, Pennsylvania on Saturday, October the 6th, with some special guests. And of course, next Wednesday, we will be here at 1 p.m. Tune in tomorrow for another edition with Barbara Ilnitska, and on Friday as well. I'll be back here on Saturday at 11 for our Saturday variety program. I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to Joseph Evangelist, to our callers, to Henry Chaplinski, who is our engineer, and to Tim Hollerin at 860 AM for all of your assistance today. Until Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 1, I wish you the very best. Dovidzenia.